Good morning. How is everybody? Good morning. One thing I don't like is I don't like standing up here because I feel getting intimate with people and not thinking that it's kind of me up there. It's the Lord, and I just feel the Lord is intimate and I with His people, and I think that's so much important than being up front. I have all my notes here, and I'm just going to put them down. When we grow up, we have our mother and our father, and they're supposed to protect us when we're growing up, to lean on them, to have love and acceptance and encouraging from our parents. Well, that didn't happen for me. I'm the third oldest of seven siblings. I have one sister and five brothers. And I was sexually, emotionally, verbally, physically abused by my father for 15 years. You would never see that when you look at me. I'm 54 years old, and I still go through things and healings. I don't think that we're completely, totally healed until we meet with the Lord. I think that's what keeps us going. That's what keeps us crying and uttering sounds to Him, and just for that healing. So it's a continual healing, but there's those steps of healing, little baby steps, that He is like with us the whole time. And so I'm thinking, you know, my dad must have been through such demonic and such perverted things as he was growing up, because there's 15 children in his family. And My great-grandpa Max Emilian Fichtner taught Lawrence Welk how to play the accordion. And that's how he got to play. And so music was a really, really big part of everything that I went through. It was like my hidden sanctuary. There were times when I was locked in my room. I couldn't get up. My dad would lock me in my room and just for blinking the wrong way, because it just the controlling, manipulative, repulsive of his behavior. And I was the only one in my family that was abused. My brothers, like emotionally and stuff like that, but I was the only one that was sexually abused. I could tell you millions of stories and things that I went through with my dad. But there's only a couple that I will share with you because of the repulsity and the pervertedness and of everything that happened all those years. But when I was in my room and I was not allowed to come out for several hours, I would sing. And I never had voice lessons or anything like that, you know. Obviously, music was a big part of our family. And that's what I would kind of just sing and just kind of, and I wasn't a Christian. Our family was very Catholic, so we had a Catholic background, but we never really went to church. It was just a label. And I would just sit in my room and I would just sing and I would just all, you know, and just so I could hide. And I would say, Lord, I know that you're with me. And I didn't even know him. So I was probably starting to build this relationship with him, and I really didn't know it because I was never taught. None of us were taught. None of our kids were taught. So that was my sanctuary, just, you know, and fear. You shouldn't have fear from your parents. You shouldn't fear them. You shouldn't be afraid to be around them. You shouldn't be able to be yourself. But there was so much fear and craziness. It was just unbelievable, like walking on eggshells, because I never knew when my dad was going to burst out. I never knew when he was going to get angry, like over nothing. He drank constantly. There was always Jack Daniels here and everywhere. He was constantly, constantly drinking and just bad temper. And it was just, I can't even tell you, it was just awful. I was scared to death most of the time. And then my mom knew, I know my mom knew of things. She was also abused by my father in many ways too. She had that fear in her too. She was scared to death of him. You never knew. She was raped. She was hit by my dad. And it was, especially the verbal abuse was just constantly. You shouldn't have to go through that when you're 7, 8 years old. That's ridiculous. It's just like, if I could touch one person's life during this whole thing, this is not about me. This is a little bit about me because I'm still doing that healing because it takes time. But to let someone know that you don't have to live in their fear, you can talk to somebody about it. It took me years to be able to talk to somebody. I was not allowed. My life was threatened. I would be hit. I was raped so many times, I can't even tell you. And just the smell, one thing that I'll never forget, the smell of the cigarettes, the coffee, that smell, and the alcohol on his breath. I just can't forget something like that. And nighttime was the worst time because I know he would come in my room at night and do repulsive, perverted things, and I would just cry out. I would just cry and say, "Lord, please let it be over. Why aren't you with me? Why weren't you with me during that time?" That's the question that was always in my mind. Why weren't you with me? You said that you love me. Why didn't you help me? You're supposed to help those who are in need, who are wounded, who are abused. Why weren't you there? So I didn't understand because I didn't know him and his sovereign love. And how can you know the Father's love and trust in his love when you've never been fathered? You've never been parented. How can you? And it's... when I was at school, my dad would come to school and watch me with binoculars when I was at school. I would go out at lunchtime. School was a good release for me, too, because I was in the choir, all that kind of stuff. And my friend, people would go, "Who is that man?" And, the principal had to go out there and say, "What are you doing?" And say, "I'm just watching my daughter." And just stuff like that. It was a very controlling. It was almost like a husband-wife type of thing. Because during that time, my mom had stomach cancer, and she died of stomach cancer when she was 53. That's young. I just turned 54, and I'm like, oh my gosh. My mom was 70 pounds when she passed away. She loved Christ. I still have her prayer books. When I was younger, she had Bible studies over. I still have her books. Even during that time, she must have been praying, praying for me and praying for the situation. She didn't know how to get out of it either. She was just did the best. I guess she did the best that she could. I was mad. I was angry at her. I said, "How can she allow this to happen? Why didn't she fight for me? Nobody fought for me. I was abandoned. Nobody rescued me." I'm a little bit nervous. I just want to say things that are going to be uplifting, and I am coming to that, so don't feel that I'm not. My mom's in heaven now. So thank you, Lord, that she is with you and she is totally healed. It was a hard time because I took care of my mom when she had cancer and she had a colostomy, and I can't even tell you how hard that was, and then still going through all the abuse and stuff. And when my mom was on her deathbed, talked to her by myself, and I said, "I know that you tried to do the best. I know she could still hear me. I said, I know you were doing the best that you could, and I forgive you for abandoning me, because you abandoned me." And for years, it just haunted me. It was just like, your mom shouldn't do that. She should be a loving, but also because she was in so much fear. How could she? I'm sorry, this is getting kind of frischwankled. It's probably my ears, you know. Thank God they're not taxi door ones, otherwise they'd fall off. So, knowing all the details of everything is not important. What's important is I survived. I don't know how I survived. I really don't. All those years, I just don't know. God must have been with me that whole entire time. I really didn't know, you know, during that time. My dad was confronted with everything when I turned 21, which was only a few years ago. More than that. Yes, my sense of humor and the way I am sometimes got me through a lot of stuff. So I think the Lord gave me that, and sometimes I can be a little bit controlling and a little bit annoying sometimes. You can ask my family, but please do that after the service. So this is how God gave me this sense of humor and the music and to get me through. So then after my mom passed away, I finally talked to my sister, and I told her everything, and she was just absolutely outraged. And my dad was confronted, and he went to jail overnight one night, and that was it. That was it. That was it. Well, back in the day, back in the 60s like that, you don't talk about things like that. You don't share things like that. You know, you don't talk about that kind of abuse because it's probably been going on, and nobody, it was just a secret thing. So I was really good at keeping secrets. Really good at lying, really good at being manipulative. I was a very controlling person. I just felt like a sex slave. I felt that's all I was good for, you know? That's it. I thought, and who's gonna love me now? Who is gonna love someone who's just been so abused and so broken? So, you know, who's gonna want me? You're a whore, you're this, you're a slut, you're disgusting, no one's gonna want you. That's all I heard growing up, that you're nothing. You're not going to be anything. You're mine. I control you. I own you. That's how it was for years. The good news, there is good news, kids. The good news is my dad got saved. Yes, my dad, it's amazing. My dad is with Jesus now. It's amazing how for years I just wanted God just to strike him. I wanted him dead. I hated him. I couldn't stand being around him. I hated him. I was hoping and praying that God would take him and just get, you know, just take him away. My dad did ask his forgiveness years ago that he was sorry for what happened. And then my dad died of cancer 2008. It was January 2008 he passed away on the 7th. So I know he's with my mom. And everybody has consequences for the things that they do. And I think for years my dad knew. And I think that he really did feel bad about everything and he didn't know how to cope with it, because I think when he grew up with 15 siblings, I mean, there's totally got to be something wrong there. Everybody has, you know, has something wrong with the family. No family is perfect. And then when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, a week later, went through that whole deal. And then one of my brothers, his name is Dean, we were very, very close. He was also like physically and emotionally abused by my dad, because he was home with me with my other two younger brothers during that time. My other brothers, my sister, they were all out of the house and had their own lives. And he became a Christian, and it was just so neat to see God work in him. And so, and then, you know, he's with Jesus too. So I'm just very excited about that, to see them again. So everyone will be healed. There will be no more tears. Do you realize that all your tears that you cry are in these little vials? Of course, mine is probably like one of those beer barrels things. Oh, I'm sure of that, you know. And it's amazing. I can't remember exactly the scripture where it says your tears are stored up, because he does listen and he does have those tears. in a way, I thought that was like anointing oil that he would like pour over us, and those healing, that he was healing it, and he was just kind of pouring it, those tears over us. That's how, you know, now tears of joy. So went through cancer, chemo, the whole thing. I've been cancer free for 6 years. Thank you, Jesus. And it didn't, thank you, Lord. Give him the glory. And my family, my wonderful husband, oh my gosh, he should get a Purple Heart. It's amazing, because even Bob and I have been married for 25 years, and the first like 10, 15 years were hard because I was controlling, manipulative, just secretive, you know, just that was all still some stuff out inside, because that's what I was taught. And I didn't know what love was until I met my husband. He's what showed me what real love is. It took years to realize that, because I just didn't know, because everything was so perverted. So he showed me what love was. And I'm very blessed to have wonderful children. My daughter, Maddie Grace, her wonderful husband, Craig, noted as Boo. My daughter, Olivia, and the next president of the United States, Jordan Schrader, out with the old and with the new. And of course, my wonderful husband. I don't know what I would have done without them. Amen. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is healing in his blood. It's only his, covered by his blood, that we can be totally healed. You know, and healing takes time. This was not an easy process this whole time, planning for this and praying, and just because I need that healing too, that I am somebody, even though I was told that I was nothing, that I am somebody, and that those words have to be just away in the name of Jesus. Don't listen to the words, because the devil is a liar, and he'll put all those things in your mind, saying that you are nothing, you can do nothing, you know. And I listened to that for years. I listened for it for years. So it was still that controlling spirit, you know, and it had to be cast out. And there are times when I'm controlling. Sometimes I'm a little bit manipulative. I'm not perfect. I just don't see how Bob puts up with it. Either he's really dumb, or he is just really, you know, how can you put up with that? And I was thinking about what Joyce Meyer went through too. She went through the same thing that I went through. And when she met her husband, he just took all that baggage that she had, because he knew that he wanted someone who was broken. Well, you had someone who was broken. So he really is my rock. Besides Christ, he really is my rock to help me get through, and accepts me and says I'm beautiful. Even when without makeup, it's not good, kids. Not good. Holy snickerdoodles, it's not. Whew. Just accepts me the way that I am. Doesn't judge me. When I was pregnant, out to here with my 10-pounder, you know, he never he never said I was fat. He never said anything negative. Because when you're used to hearing that all the time, it's like you don't know how to accept it. Every once in a while, I still don't know how to accept it. So it's a daily process. It's those little baby steps. I'm not where I used to be. Thank you, Lord. I'm not where I used to be. I'm not exactly where I want to be. But he's going to help me get through to my destiny. So there is healing and there is power in the name of Jesus. There's a million things. I'm kind of time limited. But, you know, just so I'm kind of going off in different things, and I want to try to get some things in there. So if I can just touch somebody's life and let them know that God will get you through this. He is the only way, because I did you know, the sex, the alcohol, the drugs, the whole spiel, you know, just none of it works. It's all for years just to find out what love was. And I still to this day wonder, how can God love me so much for all the sins and the mistakes that I've made. I mean, I blame myself, excuse me, for years. I have to have some water. I'm sorry. Thank you. Thanks, Henry. Oh, sorry. For years, and it is only by God's grace that I am even standing here before you. I'm not standing alone. He is holding me up. Sometimes we're up here like that, you know, and he is holding us up, because if it wasn't him, kids, I would have hit the bridge a long time ago. I would have just gave up. So now I'm finally knowing what love is, what real love is. So that's what it's all about, really finding out and trusting in the Father. So when you don't have that, who do you trust in? Who can you trust in? You can't trust in yourself. You can't. So I'm still learning that. 54 years old, I'm still learning what that love and acceptance is. It's hard. I just want to be captive by him. You know? Just want to be captive. When I'm in my alone time with the Lord, I know he doesn't want something from me. I don't have to perform for him. I don't have to do anything for him. I don't have to impress him like I felt I had to do for everybody else just to be accepted. I am nothing without Christ. Nothing. I am something with him, and you are something with him. He has a destiny for everybody. Your past does not define your future. Does not define your future. And there's tons more I would like to say, but I'm just going to leave it at that. And just continue to pray for me. Just continue to pray. So, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Praise God. Let's give the Lord praise. Wow. Wow. Gina, we applaud you. We really do. We applaud you right now. And thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your encouraging words. And the victory, Lord, that you've put in her life. Oh, my goodness. And also, the power of that anointed song through Maddie and Craig was awesome. The Lord says in Jeremiah 29:11, and this is one of my favorite scriptures in the backdrop of what I'll be sharing today, in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, and this has always been a goal of mine to think about this all the time. For I know the plans, the Lord says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord God Almighty, plans for welfare, for good, and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I want to share with you right now this song, because I also went through a time of testing in my personal life for really preaching the gospel. At the time, it was not accepted for me to be a teacher as a woman. And I just kept believing that the Lord would give me grace and he'd give me hope, and that he would take me to a place where I could be stable. And at that time, when I was receiving a lot of persecution for preaching the word of God, this song came to my heart, and I'd like to sing it to you today because it was a prophetic word from Jeremiah. God says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans of good, not of evil, to give you a future. So whoever you are and whatever your calling is, remember this, that God has prepared a place for you in him, and nothing and no one can steal what God has anointed you to do. Only you yourself could back down from it. And so I encourage you today, don't back down and hear this song. Let it go deep into your heart, because God calls you anointed. He calls you anointed. He calls you holy. And the Bible very clearly says he will give you hope in your latter end.
you sing through the night, a beacon for those seeking what's right, shining from our God, a sign to urge us on.
For good. God says, plans for good, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Sometimes, no matter how hard you pray, and no matter how hard you believe, it seems as if things don't turn out as soon as that you had hoped for. And that's what I want to talk about today, that God says, if we build our house on the rock, we will stand. If we put our trust in God, we will stand. Some today even here are praying for their marriages to be restored. You're praying for your life to be pleasing to God. Maybe it's a business that God has prepared for you that you just don't seem to want to pursue. Or maybe it's a new relationship that God has given you and you don't feel as if you can do it. Well, let me help you today. This is the good news, that God has something new for you. He has something good in store for you. He's got a future and a hope for you. And you see, when God closes a door, he always opens another one. God will take the evil the enemy brings, and if you'll keep a good attitude, he'll turn it around for good. So today, we need to let go of our condemnation. We need to let go of our past. It is abomination to the Lord to condemn yourself. God doesn't condemn you, so don't condemn yourself. God has given you a future and a hope. And I say this to you today, never put a question mark where God has put a period. Never put a question mark over your life where God has put a period. And the thing that Jesus wants you to understand today is he's not confused about your life. He's not confused about your future. He has said in his word that he has a hope for you, that he has a future for you, that he has a good planned out for you. And so we must focus today on what we can change, not what we can't change. Because the past is over and dead, it's defeated, it's long gone. And now God says to you, believe that God himself has a future for you. Believe that God has a hope for you. You see, what I have learned is that we need to learn to be happy. Because God has an appointed time for everything in heaven. He has an appointed time. If we can understand this today, we can build our life on the rock. The rock is the Word of God. Are you a wise builder or are you a foolish builder? If you build your life on the rock of knowing that His Word says this, you'll never fail. Let's turn and look at this. The Bible says in Matthew, it says very clearly, Matthew 7, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. You see, you may have had rains descend upon your life, a flood come against you. But the Bible says, everyone who hears these sayings of mine, Jesus says, and does not do them would be foolish. But if we build our house upon the rock, which is his word, we will never fail. We will never fail. And so I assure you today, how much are you seeking after the truth of God? How much are you hungering after the Word of God, the holy written Word of God, and the revealed Word of God? How much are you hungering and thirst after this, and then saying, I will do it? Because that is the amount of success that you will have in life. If you're hungering after Jesus, hungering after His presence, hungering after the Word of God, and equipped to do it, no matter what it costs, God says you will be that wise builder. And I assure you today, God has designed us to be happy. He's not designed us to be defeated. He's not designed us to be depressed and rejected. That's not his ultimate goal. Yes, we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but the Lord says, do not fear any evil, for the Lord is with you. His rod and his staff will be with you, and they will comfort you. One of my favorite persons in the Bible is King David, because he wasn't perfect. He made mistakes. He became discouraged. But when he prayed, the Lord turned things around for him. He prayed this prayer. He said, God, renew a right spirit within me. Help me to get rid of self-pity. Hallelujah. Help me not to give up. Help me to do what I'm called to do. Today, friend, life is too short to trudge through it depressed and defeated. If you want to give your enemy a nervous breakdown, you know what you got to do today? Keep a positive attitude when all the bottom falls out of your life. When everything around you is faltering and failing. Hallelujah. Can I switch over? Can I put this down? Okay. Learn, hallelujah, learn to be happy when things don't go your way, because God has a timetable for every promise that he's made for you. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, let's put this up. This is the foundational scripture for today, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. And I love this when I heard it. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. When you face adversity, this allows you to be able to ground yourself on this rock. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. If you're determined today to see the good plans that God has for you, hallelujah, because he already said that there were good plans. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the thoughts that I have for you. Plans what? Plans for good and not of evil. Anyone who's done anything in this life right has realized that there's got to be a process to it. There's got to be plans to it. You build a house, you make the plans. There's a time to do this. There's a time to do that. There's a time to put the foundation on. There's a time to build the construction of the building. Any kind of thing that's awesome, any strategy that you build, any architect would tell you, there has to be a time for every part of that building to be built. And so when there's the right time, God says, I will release what I've planned for you. But if we get our ourselves confused, we will always be defeated and depressed, because that negative spirit will dry up our energy. It'll weaken our immune system. So human nature always wants everything right now. I mean, you're not any different than I am. If you want something, you usually do want it right now. But the Bible says every purpose under heaven has a time to it. And so God really has destined an appointed time to bring every one of your dreams to pass. So don't get mad. Don't get upset and frustrated when it's not your timetable. There have been times in my life where I've wanted something so bad, and God says, wait, just wait for it. Though it tarry, wait for it. And I read that scripture in Habakkuk, and I realized that God is, he's such a strategist. He's such a planner that he knows exactly how to bring to pass everything that we're dreaming about, but only he can do it. And so since I read this scripture in Habakkuk 2:3, it says, write the vision down. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. And I love this part. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Here it is. A set time, the Bible says. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, in other words, though it labors and waits, wait for it. Because it will surely come to pass. Now, the question I have for you is, how are you waiting for it? Because we know, first of all, that God has a set time for every promise. Then we don't live haphazardly. We live in order. We live in peace. We live in a rest. Because God alone knows the set time for every promise that we're praying about. I would love to say that if you had all faith, it would always happen within 24 hours, but that's not the truth. God has a purpose and a plan for everything that he does in his life with us. God is not like an ATM machine where you punch the code and receive what you requested right away. Hallelujah. Part of trusting in God is that we need to ask ourselves this question. How are we going to wait since we know that we need to wait? Since God has an appointed time, we can either make that wait wonderful and enjoy our life, or we can make it horrible and be mad and bitter and upset with everything. Now, if we choose to wait with a good attitude, expecting and knowing that God has a good plan, then we don't have to live muttering complaints all the time. God, you didn't answer my prayers. When is this situation going to change? How? How are you going to do this? God, when? How? When? What's happening? So when you know this, when you know that he said there is a set time, you can wait. You can say, I know it's going to happen. I don't know when, and I certainly don't know how, but I know it is. I know you have good plans for me, plans to prosper me according to your word, to give me good success. And I also read this one scripture. This is a powerful one. Can you show in the book of Jeremiah? This is a powerful scripture, another one that the Lord showed me in preparing for this message today. The Lord said, this is the wisdom of God to build our house on. In Jeremiah 31:16-17, it says, thus saith the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping, and your eyes from tears. For your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their border. What is it that you're believing for today? Is it your children? Is it your marriage to be restored? Is it your family to get their act together? Is it a business that you want to have started? Is it a relationship that you're really asking God to improve and heal? The Apostle Paul said it like this, I rejoice in suffering that the power of Christ may come upon me. See this, maybe, God is wanting you to experience peace for the first time in your life and not struggle and learn how to rest. Because God is changing things little by little. God will keep his promise. He is not confused. God is not confused. Now, do you do your best to love him and serve him and you haven't seen something yet in your prayer life? Well, just remember this. God Almighty is working and I am going to be happy while I'm waiting for every promise that he has secured for me. God will take care of me. You see, the promise is this. When you see it and when you feel it the least, that's when God's working. When you see it and you feel it the least, that's when behind the scenes, God is putting everything together, strategizing things, making things work. He's the culmination of everything that you've ever dreamed. And then suddenly, it will happen. And you'll be shocked because you'll know it is God who has done it. David desired to make a difference in his life. Can you imagine poor David? David, this little boy, he was put out. His father didn't even call him in to help him and say, you might be the one in the running. He was put out. He was ostracized when all of his brothers were stood before the prophet of God. He wasn't even invited. I'm telling you, that would have been reason for most people to just call it quits. I'm a nobody. And think to yourself, I'm a nobody. No future, no hope. But guess what? God had a plan for David, and God brought him out of obscurity into the palace because God had anointed him for a purpose. We were in Chicago yesterday, and I saw a lot of people as I ministered at the women's meeting that I was at. I saw a lot of people come up to me, and they said this. They said, if it wasn't for the fact that you shared that message, I would have quit. I would have given up. I would have committed suicide. I would have thrown in the towel. But this is a message that will bring you the hope that you need today, that God has heard your prayers and God is bringing them about in His time and in His way. Look at the book of Ecclesiastes again. I'm going to say it again. To everything there is a purpose and a time for everything under God's heaven. And so if you know the story of David, God brought David out of the fields, and not only did David defeat his worst enemy, Goliath, but eventually he was made the king over all of Israel. Now, I'm asking you this question today. What is your Goliath? Is it a dream for a better marriage? Is it a dream to have your children saved? Is it a dream for a business that you want to have started, a ministry that you'd like to see birthed? Well, this is the good news. God will put His super on your natural and make you a supernatural person. God will put His super on your natural. Do you remember the story? I love this story. When they were out kind of fishing that day and Peter didn't catch one single fish. Not one. Not a one. And he was looking over at Jesus and he said, "What's going on, Jesus? I didn't catch anything. I didn't have any catch." And Jesus said, "Cast out your net. You're in for a haul." At that moment, it looked bleak for him. Not a single catch. No fruit. Nothing going on. In fact, it was quite the opposite. Everything was coming against him. It looked as if everything was bleak. But then when Jesus spoke that word and said, "Cast out your nets, Peter, for a haul, because you're going to bring in a huge blessing," he did it and he obeyed. You see, the good news is that when everything looks dark, when it looks bleak, when everybody's coming against you and you don't feel anything good, that's the time where Jesus is going to bring the haul into your life. That's the moment when God is working behind the scenes, God promoting you at the appointed time. Galatians 6, verse 9, look at this scripture about the times and seasons of God. It's so important that you understand to everything there is a season. If you study the Old Testament, you realize that God had a season for everything. There was a time for everything. There was a moment for every holiday that they celebrated, and it was always days apart. They counted the days. There was a time. God's a great planner. And I think the reason why we don't understand God is we're not melancholy enough to understand Him. That God has a season for everything. Maybe we're a bit too phlegmatic, or maybe we're a bit too relaxed about it. But you know what? God is in control. And He knows exactly when to bring that promise to pass in your life, when it will be the best for you and everyone else around you. Galatians 6, verse 9, "Let us not grow weary while doing good." For what? Here it is. For in due season, or when it is the appointed time, or when it is the set time. Hallelujah. In due season. Who knows when that is? God does. "For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart and have a bad attitude." If we're not seeing God move, one of the most important possibilities to consider is this. Number one, maybe your request to God would not be the very best for you, and God is going to answer them in a more positive way than you've ever dreamed. It'll always be better than you ever hoped and ever strategized. Remember that. It won't be less, it'll be better. Or number two, it may not just be the right time for something. Because if God would answer the prayer in the timing that you were hoping for, it may have interfered with his ideal plan for you. Have you ever thought about that? That's important to remember. Let God do things his way. Just back off. It's called trusting God. So many times we're so consumed with trying to get our way that we may be trying to interfere with God. And so if you miss something, God's big enough to correct it. And if you've missed something, it's probably the most important thing that you ever learned to do is say, I missed it. I thought this was the time we were supposed to do something, but we missed it. Do you know how happy that makes God when you're honest? The prophet Samuel suffered a tremendous disappointment in his relationship with the first king of Israel, Saul. The man of Israel named Saul was so good at one time. He was so humble. He was so shy. He actually said, you know, that he wanted to do everything God's way. But the prophet Samuel was heartbroken because he spent a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of money on that relationship that turned out sour. And God asked him in a very important question one day. He said, Samuel, how long are you going to grieve over Saul? How long are you going to grieve over your past mistakes? How long are you going to grieve over your last disappointments? Because quite often, your disappointments are God's reappointments if you maintain that good attitude. If you realize that God is good and not evil to give you hope, to give you a future, then unfair things that have happened to you, maybe you've lost a job, maybe you've been mistreated, maybe a person or a spouse was unfaithful or abused you, you make the decision today that you're going to let all of that go. Let it go. Let it go. Just let it go. And develop a mentality that God is good all the time for you. That he will give you and secure you and release you from the bitterness. Even today, God will give you beauty for ashes. He'll give you hope in the latter end. Hallelujah. Though the storms may come, hallelujah. Though the winds may blow, just let it go. And let those things that may upset you or cause you to be bitter to be resolved right now. And remember this. How do you handle the waiting? How do you handle it? Are we going to get bitter and frustrated with people and blame them and say, you were the one that caused that, or I was the one that caused that, I'm no good, or are you going to delete that? Every thought that comes against your mind, every enemy thought that comes against your thinking, hallelujah, you delete it. You delete it. The Bible says, casting down vain imaginations and every thought that rises against the knowledge of God. Do you know when you go through defeat, the very first thing the enemy does is try to tell you that you're no good, that you're nothing, that you're nobody, and you'll never amount to anything. Remember, delete that button quickly. And remember to put on what Gina did. She put on the thoughts of God. She put that on her mind. She began to say, I am called by God. I'm created by God for good works. Hallelujah. The plans and the purposes of God that he has for me are good and not of evil. And she built her house on the rock. And now she's standing up here today. She's saying, God's got a purpose for me. I'm a testimony of God's grace, a trophy of his glory. So what does God think about you? When he thinks about you. When God meditates on you, his heart, what does he feel? The Bible says, I feel your infirmities. The Lord says, I feel your pains. Jesus Christ is the great high priest. He feels our infirmities. He knows our pains. He understands. He gets in the trenches with us. And he says, I feel your pain. Now I want to lift you out of that. Don't be a victim of that. Let it go. And let me turn it around and let me show you the good plans that I have for you. Nothing could be farther from the truth. If you've been told in the past and you've been lied to by the devil himself, you say, I don't know, nothing good's going to happen to me. I don't know how that's going to turn out. I want to share with you the good news today, that the timing of the Lord is perfect. What God has promised, he will fulfill. I've got some things I want to share with you today, and this is a very encouraging story. Hallelujah. In John chapter 11, it's a story about a death in the family, and you may have known a little bit about this story, but I'm going to share with you a little bit about it that's going to kind of revolutionize your thinking and show you the good things that the Lord has for you. The times are in God's hands. The times and the seasons are in God's hands, saith the Lord. They're in my hands. Don't hurry things along that I alone can do. Trust in me. In John chapter 11, there was a certain man who was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped her feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters came to him saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of the Lord, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, don't you think it would have been nice for God to heal him right away? I mean, honestly, don't you think that would have been a perfect fit? I think so. Most of us would say, of course. God had a better plan. He had a bigger plan. He had something that would be a phenomenal defeat to the plan of the enemy. Now, this is the same thing he does for you. Okay, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. And so when they heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. And are you going to go there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, but he sees the light of the world. But if anyone who walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. So after saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to go to awaken him. And the disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking a nap. But Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. So for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there. So when you may believe, you may go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to the fellow disciples, let us go that we may die with him. Now, I love this part of the story. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. So Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Once again, don't you think Jesus should have healed Lazarus right away? If he's the healer? Come on, Jesus. Jiminy Cricket, right? As our friend Gina says. Don't you think Jesus could have done that? Absolutely. Absolutely, he could have done that. Absolutely, Jesus can heal you. In a heartbeat. He can heal you any minute. But he had a good plan. It was a good plan worked out. And Sister Laurel, if you could come up in just a few minutes, I want to share with you. He had a good plan for Lazarus' resurrection. Far better plan than a healing. Think about that. It says, so when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. And Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. So Jesus said to her, my brother will rise again. Your brother will rise again, Jesus said. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Just like Jesus is telling you right now, I am the securer of your promise. Of your possibility, that everything that you've dreamed about for your plans and purposes, your goals, your life, everything has been planned out by God already. And he knows exactly the right time to release that blessing to you when everyone around you will benefit also. And even your enemy will be defeated. Now look at here. It says, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And when she said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here. He's calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but he was still in the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. But now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. How many times do we say that to God? Lord, if you had done this, this wouldn't have happened. God, why are you doing this? Why is this happening? We say that all the time to God, not knowing that God is good and God has a good plan for us, a plan and a future and a hope that he has laid out. Trust in that appointed time. Trust and believe. Lord, if you not have been there, she cried out. She was confused, but I love it. Jesus isn't confused. I'm going to say that over and over again. I'm going to make a t-shirt about that. Jesus isn't confused. He knows exactly what he's doing. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them, could not he have opened the eyes of the blind man, also have kept this man from dying? True. Then Jesus said, he was deeply moved in his spirit, it said. He came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there would be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days. We are so ridiculous sometimes in our reasoning, aren't we? You know, I mean, he's about ready to raise her from, and we try to reason with God. Oh, that can't work because of this, or this isn't going to work because of so-and-so, or I'm not able to do it because of this. I'm too old. I'm too young. Excuses. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. We go on and on with the excuses, on and on and on, when all Jesus wants us to say is this, Lord, we trust you. You're good. You got a good plan for my life. I know you're working it out. That's all he's asking. And he'll whoosh, move in on the scene. I know you got a good plan for me, Lord. Do it. Do it. Do exactly what you've destined for me. Hallelujah. And get this. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And so they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. This wasn't all about Martha. This wasn't all about Mary. It was about the bigger picture that God had. He prayed that the people around them would believe. If we believe that God has a great plan for our lives and that the greatest good and the highest good will come to pass, God will bring it to pass. And so he cried out, Jesus said, with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the man who had died came out, and his hands and his feet bound with linen stripes, and his face was wrapped with cloth. And Jesus said to him, untie him and let him go. What God wants you to know today is that he wants you to let it go. Let the past go. Let it die. Let the lies be burned up in the presence of God today. God wants you to know that God has given you a mandate and a calling to become what you're called to be. You are a priceless treasure. He's mightily saving you from defeat. He can do what only he can do. He can raise you up. What our cry needs to be right now is, God, our times are in your hands, O Lord. Let's say this together and look at it in Psalm 37. Our times, O God, are in your hands. They're in your hands. They're not in my hands. They're in your hands. Can we have the trust and the faith to say that to God today? God, I know you have a purpose and a plan, and I know that you want good in this plan and the circumstance that I'm working through. Consider this, Lord. I trust in your goodness to work something good out of this. Let's pray. Let's believe. Let's stand on the word of God. For the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in his way, the Bible says. God has a set time to bless you. He has a set time for every purpose under heaven, every blessing that he's promised you. And this is so beautiful. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Wow. God's strengthening you with his hand. Laurel, can you come forward right now? My daughter Laurel has a testimony that she'd like to share with you. This is a very important word that God had put upon her heart. Many years ago, she was struggling in an area of healing for her body. And I just want her to take a few minutes, if she can. Can we turn on this mic? Can we put this on? Honey, you take this and you share what God has on your heart, okay?
Yeah, sure. I talking about the timing of the Lord and the timing of things and not always it happening right when you think it's best and or even understand. And probably for a couple of years, I'll just, you know, be kind of general, but I was believing God for a healing in my physical body for 3 or 4 years. And just, you know, things I was doing, you know, the doctors, the things that they were giving me to do weren't really working. And there was nothing else that I could really do except trust God. And it wasn't necessarily a life or death situation, but it was something that wasn't being resolved through the medical science, the medical field. And I just really felt that it was time just to stop that and, you know, to stop, because I had tried that and it wasn't working. So I just thought, no, I'm going to put this in your hands, Lord, mm-hmm. and let you take care of this in your timing. Mm-hmm. And every day I would just say out of my mouth that my body is totally healthy. Every part of my body is working properly. Every part of it is in alignment with God's will and God's timing. Mm-hmm. And I believe that I am in the will of the Lord, and every part of my body is in the will of the Lord. And I would just say that. And it's amazing because, you know, you say that and then you're like, next day, all right, let's go. You know, where's the healing? Mm-hmm. And it's not there, you know, right away. And but you don't, that's the moment where you have to realize that God's timing is the best.
Amen.
And I really do believe that he let, not let it, but that the reason I think, you know, because the scripture you read was that this would show the glory of God.
The Lord.
Mm-hmm. And that his, you know, it would bring honor to him. And I really believe that now I can say this, that it just, it miraculously corrected itself, the problem I had in my body. One day I just woke up and it was better. It's funny, I walked downstairs and I'm like, Mom, I just got healed. And it's so funny because we had just kind of accepted the fact that I was already healed, that it wasn't really even necessarily a big deal. We just kind of went on with our day because we had pretty much already accepted the fact that God had healed me and I was healed and we were walking in victory.
Amen.
And So, I mean, we did obviously celebrate the manifestation of it, but it was just like,
true.
You know, it wasn't necessarily that big of a surprise because I was expecting it to come. And, but the cool thing is that God taught me, I believe, that first of all, what I spoke out of my mouth was very important during that time, and also just knowing that the timing of the Lord is awesome and it is great, and you know, because I could have just, you know, gotten healed right away, and then it was kind of like, you know, or even with, you know, whatever, even after a shorter amount of time, and you know, it would have been nice, but it wouldn't have been such an amazing
testimony
to bring God glory,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I was just really blessed by this thing that happened in my life. And I just praise God for it. But, you know, it was that waiting time. It didn't happen right away.
True.
It was like mm-hmm. 3-4 years that it was a waiting period for me that I had to say, Lord, you know, my times are in your hands. Mm-hmm. I know that you know what's best for me.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
And I got the victory. And it's praise God for that.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I'm going to keep her. I'd like to close with several other quick testimonies, one in which I thought was phenomenal. The Bible calls things that be not as though they were. The Bible says we should call things that be not as though they were. And so as we're waiting for the promises of God, We are to do what Abraham did. He literally called things that be not as though they were. His body was dead. He could not have a child. He was not able to have a child. Neither was Sarah able to have a child. But they called things that be not as though they were. They counted God, the Bible says, as faithful to his promise. Seriously. And so when we honor God and we say, God, no matter what it takes, I don't know how you're going to work this out, but I believe that you are working. That is the foundation for God to begin to do miraculous things. And so we have to remember that there was a man in the Bible called Gideon, and Gideon was hiding from the Midianites. In Judges chapter 6, you find him hiding from the Midianites. He did not feel as if he was able to do anything at the time. He was in a war. He was fighting. He was hiding from the enemy. And God looked at him and said, "Hail, O mighty man of valor." He said, "Hail, O mighty man of valor." In other words, you're strong. Call him strong when he wasn't. I love that song that Craig and Maddie ministered because it talks about, "Call me kind, call me gentle." God calls us something that we're not before we can become that. He calls us healed. He calls us victorious. He calls us beautiful. He calls us successful. And when you hear the voice of God call you that, you rise up and you become what God has called you. You know, I really believe that it's what we see in the eyes of our faith that causes us to become what we're supposed to be. There's a story about a little German shepherd that was really hurt one time in an accident, and his legs were paralyzed, and so the German shepherd had to walk with a limp, dragging his legs. And he would drag his legs along because they weren't healed properly. When this little German shepherd, though, had other little German shepherds, it's an interesting part of the story. Some of those little babies, although they were healthy and their legs were perfectly normal, were actually walking the same way the mother was walking because of the fact that they saw it modeled. Now, that's an interesting story because I want you to understand this true story is what we need to understand. God models perfect things for us through Jesus Christ. Anything that you see Jesus do, you can do it too. Anything that you see Christ do, you can do it also. The Bible says, "Greater works you shall walk in," because the Lord says he's the model. He calls you his son or his daughter. And so we need to rise to that occasion and become what he's called us to be and not cow down under the hand of the enemy. I believe that Christ is our rock. He's our solid rock, and upon that rock we stand. And I believe that that is one of the most powerful things that we can do today is to stand on the rock. Let's stand together as we worship our Lord. Let's stand together because we're going to go through several things that I want you to go through in your heart today to really receive healing from the Lord Jesus. God wants you to be healed from a past that's been defeated. He wants you to let it go. He wants you to put down any label that you've had for your past. Anything that was labeling you. You may have had somebody call you, "Oh, you're just like your mother." Or "you're just like your father." Or "you're just like your brother." Or "you're just a defeated, no good, not amount to anything person." You may have had those labels in your past. You may have been told those negative thoughts, but the Bible says to cast down every vain imagination and every lie that God says is contrary to the purposes of God. You know, I'm going to talk to your head right now and tell you something. You're beautiful. That's what God says about you. You're kind. You're loving. You're created in my image. You're called to be an overcomer. You're gentle. You're merciful. You're mighty. And on Christ, this rock, we can stand. because maybe your parents never told you something good, or maybe your husband never told you anything kind, or your wife never said anything good about you, but God is. God's saying these encouraging, affirming words to you today, that you can become what I've called you to be. My son, my daughter, you are righteous. That's what he says. He says, you're righteous. No, you don't do everything right. That's not what God's saying. He's not saying that we don't come to him to receive help and instruction and wisdom on how to correct certain things. But God is never labeling you, and don't you ever let your mind think any thoughts other than the fact that I can become what God's called me to be. I can become what God's called me to be. I am an overcomer. I am a conqueror. I am more. I can do all things through Christ. I am, as the Bible says, I love this. I heard this one time. Someone said, I have muchness. I have muchness. That means I am abundant and created by God for good works, prepared by God that I should walk in those things. Now, are you going to cast down that lie today that you're a nobody? Or are you going to stand on the rock and begin to praise him right now for all that he's called you to be? I want you to understand this. You're beautiful to God. You're created in Christ Jesus for those works that he's preordained for you to walk in. Remember, there's a set time. He's preordained, the Bible says. Preordained. That means he strategized it from the very beginning. He said, on such and such a day, this is what I've planned for Mariah. This is what I've planned for Craig. This is what I've planned for Cherokee. I've planned this. I've planned for her to receive redemption. I've planned for her to hear the good news. And God says, I plan for him to become what he's called to be. These are all things he strategized. He knew when the enemy would come in. He knew when the enemy would hit its best shot. He knew when the enemy would come against you. And he said, on that day that the enemy is gonna strike her down, I'm gonna raise up a standard against him. He has strategized it. He's a perfect planner, God is. He's a perfect planner. And so don't ever get upset and don't ever blame anyone for your defeat. Or don't ever worry that it's not happening sooner. Just rejoice and thank him that he's doing what he knows to do. God, you know exactly what you're doing. Right now, let's lift up our hands and just praise him. Praise him that he has an appointed time for everything good in our life. Remember, God says, my plans for you are good. And that's the main thing that we have to worship him for, is that we know that those plans are good and not evil. They're good. God, you've got good plans for us. Let's worship him for his goodness today. Let's worship him. If I were God, I wouldn't want half the things that Christians are saying about me said. I would never want that. I would want God, I would want my reputation to be that I am good. And you know, so many Christians are so beat down today because they are hearing things that are lies. We've got to forsake those lies and know that God has good plans for us. As we seek him with all of our heart, he will do those things. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Let's praise him today. No double-minded shifting sands. On Christ the rock I plant my feet, a firm foundation for me. Holy, the house. Let's worship him everywhere. Everywhere you are, worship him that he has got a set time.
worship Him, that you could be patient and believe Him right now and enjoy your life as He's bringing to pass every promise. Not worried, not stressed out, not bitter, not anxious about anything. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, make your request known to God, that at due season you shall reap if you faint not. God wants to minister to you this morning. Just slip out of your seat and come to the front. God's asking you to lay your dreams at the altar of the Lord today. He's asking you to put your hopes, your plans, your visions right into His hands and say, Lord, let your fire consume me today. Let your rock, Lord, be the stability of my life. Let your presence, Lord, come in my life. And take over, take control, Lord. I want to partner with your purposes. Just slip out of your seat and come to the front. Kneel at the altar. The Lord wants you to know that you can be patient. That God has a future and He has a hope for everything that you've ever dreamed possible. For every purpose under heaven. Every purpose under heaven. God will bring it to pass. God wants you to relax right now in His presence. To leave this place with total peace over your heart, because God is the great planner. Hallelujah. He even told the people, He said, wait in Jerusalem, and I will send you the Holy Spirit. Wait in Jerusalem, and I will send you the Holy Spirit. So they waited. They waited for the Holy Spirit to come. And they were in the upper room when the rushing mighty wind came and just blew through that place. And God granted them their heart's desire. But on Christ, you can place your hopes and dreams. On Christ, the rock, I lay my dreams. Come with your fire consuming me. On Christ, the rock, I place my plan. Partner with your purposes. Holy. there are several people right now receiving a healing in your body and also in your mind. There's been some abuse that you've walked through. There's a lot of abuse that you've taken. The Lord God is lifting that off of you. Every bit of your past is dissolving right now, and He's giving you hope to walk into the glorious future that He has for you. Oh, Father, we worship you. Let's worship our Lord right now as you receive the healing from heaven right now. Let the blessed Holy Spirit assure you of your purpose in God. On Christ the rock I place my dreams. Come with your fire consuming me. On Christ the rock I place my plans. Partner with your purposes, Jesus. Against you that can prosper. There's no weapon formed against you that can stand. For truly, God says, you are pearls of great price. For I have called you and appointed you for this season, this set time, to favor you. For I will open up the doors that no man can shut for you, and I will shut the doors that no man can open. For truly, says the Lord, I have ordained you to be in this place. I've called you to be here, and you will see the glory. Will see the presence. Hallelujah. Let's just worship the Lord throughout the house right now. There's many people that are receiving healings. If you want to slip up out of your seat, just come forward and just make a commitment to Jesus Christ today. Today He's calling you to say, I am committed to follow Jesus. You know, the past is dead and gone. There's old things. Everything, all that junk of the past, all the problems, the insecurity, the persecutions, even the sins of the past, God's resolving those right now. He's dissolving them in the power of His love. And He is beautiful. He is so beautiful. He calls you beautiful. Hallelujah. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Jesus. Father, right now, may the blessed Holy Spirit, Lord, be upon each person as they go. May they realize and not be troubled in their spirit any longer, Lord. For Jesus, you right now are literally lifting them out of any depression. And God, I thank you for the lightness of your Holy Spirit upon each person today. God is lifting you out of every bit of depression that you've had, regrets, hurts. God says, I give you a mantle of praise today. All of us, let's praise Him right now. Can we just praise Him? He's given you a mantle of worship that God will show you the expected end that you have. Hallelujah. The future and the hope in the name of Jesus. For you truly are unstoppable, says the Lord. You're unstoppable. There's nothing that can stop you. Keep on going and keep on fighting, for great is your reward, says the Lord. Amen. Let's give God praise for His word today. Amen. That is something I stand on, that there is nothing that can defeat us because Jesus is with us. I want you to really consider coming out on Wednesday night and hearing this awesome, awesome movie. It really did change my life, this movie did. And it's amazing what the Word of God in a creative means can do. I love creativity. We're a church that's given over to creative communication. That's what we're known for and we will be known for in the future, is a creative communication church. I believe that someday, very soon, movies will be made in our church. We will have people that are authors and writers of movies, movie scripts, movie scenes, actors here. God says prophetically, we are called to creatively communicate the gospel. That's why we're so glad for Maddie and Craig here with us, and welcome you in our body as part of our family. We thank you so much for all that you've done today to bless us. Can we give them a big hand? And thank you all.